I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I have in studio with me Todd Belcour, who is an adjunct professor at the University of Chicago in the law department. He's also the executive director of Social Change. We have on the line with us Mark Carman. Oh, what happened to Carm? I just went to go get him and I didn't get him. What did I do? Can you call? Oh, he's calling back.
My title's too long.
It's too long. He was done. He's like, oh, that guy's in the studio. They certainly don't need me. But I have Todd's joined me tonight to talk a little bit about the DNC. And then I realized, you know, what is interesting to me, the conversations that you try to have that doesn't, the goal is to not ruffle feathers, right? And that seems less and less likely these days. There are very few conversations we can have that rubs people the wrong way than Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter has become something of a dividing line. And today, and not that Michael Jordan has stepped into this and said, and actually said Black Lives Matter, because he's also saying that he respects people in law enforcement, but he has donated money. Carm joins us on the line. Carm, tell us a little bit about what Michael Jordan has come out and said today.
Carm? All right, Patty. Hey. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Huge day. For Michael, speaking to the undefeated, which I had never heard of the undefeated before today, Patty. I don't know if you have, but I hadn't.
Was he trying to launch somebody's
It's through
website?
ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, it's through ESPN, but I had never heard of the undefeated deal. At any rate, this is just a huge quote. As a proud American, a father who lost his own dad in a senseless act of violence, and a Black man, this is a Michael quote, "I've been deeply troubled by the deaths of African Americans at the hand of law enforcement, and angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting of and killing of police officers." So, he donated $1 million to two different organizations. One, the Institute for Community Police Relations,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
which apparently was launched in May by the International Association of the Chiefs of Police, and then he also to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, which was established, as you are aware, Patty, and probably back in 1940.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't want to knock Michael because I think it's great what he's doing, or at least that he finally stepped up.
Right.
But, he's on and listen, he's what he's saying is right. But, I mean, basically, it's not like he's taking some big stand here. Right. I mean, he's saying that he support the police and let's support African-Americans. So I don't think I think it's great that he's talked, but it's also very calculated too as well. I'm not giving him like over the top props for this. I'd like to hear more.
Well, Todd, what do you think of it? Because I think there's an element of cynicism. I have a little bit of the same reaction that Carm does. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has accused him of taking commerce over conscience before, and and his entire career has really never. I mean, he's given to charitable organizations, but never stepped up socially. I think is what a lot of people are kind of being cynical about. What do you think?
I think those are fair accusations. I mean, throughout his entire Hall of Fame career, you had never seen or imagined him taking a stand similar to this. So why I can see why people may say it's calculated, but there's been many other opportunities where there have been crucial, pressing national issues from which he could have used his platform to make a difference, which he's chosen not to. So I think there has to be some merit in recognizing if you've got a guy who's got a 40-year record of ignoring all the societal ails and his opportunity to do something and now decides to. I think you do have to credit the fact that this has a unique pull on his conscience.
It's that bad.
I think
and because
it's
of his
bad.
Own personal experience. His father was gunned down by carjackers.
That's right.
Was it in South Carolina, North Carolina? He was on the side of the road. They found him.
Right.
It was
North
down
Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah, I think that, right, there's that emotional, own personal pull. And he has said, as the, he's raising his children, he's the son of someone who was murdered. Right. It's hard to be cynical. And I we all should be able to be in the position to, one, lend our voices and our money. I mean, the amount of money he's contributing is significant. But, there are a lot of people trying to make social commentary. What do you think in sports, Carm? Because you made excellent points after the passing of Muhammad Ali. Who is going to be the athlete that steps in and uses their fame and their stature to call attention to how people are struggling? The WNBA, I'm sure that you know about the story. Which team is it? Is it a team or is it the entire WNBA that's being fined?
Well, there was three teams: the New York Liberty, Phoenix Mercury. But those fines, actually, Patty, they rescinded those fines.
Really? Yeah. Tell us what they were being fined for. I'm sorry, we haven't told the audience.
They wore black jerseys to draw attention to what was not jerseys. They wore black T-shirts for their warm-ups, and just to draw attention to what was going on, to put their voice in there. And Lisa Borders, who's the president of the WNBA, fined the players $500 each, and the organizations each, there's three of them, $5,000. But then, after a couple of days of discussion and a lot of angry people throughout the league, they rescinded the fines, and they're working on, finding the proper way for their players to express themselves. Leagues do have a uniform code. And I didn't think they should have been fined, but there has to be some level of, you can't just do whatever you want at any moment. I get that. I thought it was ridiculous, but so they're working on how they want to approach what's going on in the world, which I thought was, listen, that's cool. Tons of discussion. We'll fine you. No, actually, we'll look at it closer. We'll decide that we were wrong, and let's see how we can do better. So the WNBA actually did a great job there. As far as people, speaking up, right now the biggest voice in sports to me is LeBron. And he's also in Cleveland, where they've had some incidents. Tamir Rice, kid mm-hmm. who was shot in a park, number one, and LeBron stayed quiet on that. He said, I really don't know what went on. And here's a guy that, grew up with nothing in Akron. I was very smart, too. LeBron is a highly, highly intelligent guy, very well thought out. So it was surprising that he stayed silent on that. But he did just join Carmelo. Anthony was the first to step up recently of the New York Knicks. And then so Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and LeBron, they're all buddies. Chris Paul is in there, too.
Yeah.
So those guys all stepped up at the ESPYs, which I thought was great. I think we talked about that, Patty.
Do you feel like LeBron was taking a page out of the Jordan book by being quiet for so long relating to these issues?
Well, he was and he wasn't. When you go back to Trayvon Martin, he was playing with Miami then, and everybody on the Miami Heat, they all wore hoodies in the locker room and said, "I am Trayvon." Yeah. So he did on that one. It was shocking that he did it on Tamir. In his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So that was disappointing, I guess. Michael's history too. You got to remember, he grew up in a suburb in North Carolina. His parents told him that you're not just supposed to have black friends. You're supposed to have black and white friends. You treat everybody the same. He just wasn't raised, to see color, really. So I think, and he's a businessman. So there's like two parts of it with Michael. And you can't. When I call him out, and when a lot of people call him out, I think you also have to say, listen, in being a social activist is not for everyone. You can't be like, you should do more. There's part of that that's unfair.
Yeah, there is a part of that. If you're not socially active, if you're not socially minded, we don't know. I don't know very much about, and I'm going back to the story, the conversation you had about Muhammad Ali. I don't know how much of that comes from the way you grew up and the things that you're passionate about before you became a star. If you're not going to, throw yourself out there as somebody who wants to make the world a better place, you can't. It can't just be because you're famous. Well, now I'm going to be this crusader for justice.
Yeah, well threaded in. I think also the issue is, no matter what your background is or whether or not you're socially minded, as you say, there does become a point where silence is betrayal, as Dr. King was saying. If you see and hear all the news coming on and all the violence, all the abject poverty and the things that are disproportionately impacting the community of people who look just like you, it seems like you just have a moral obligation to do more than what's currently being done by a lot of athletes. So I do think it's fair to add that critique of athletes to say, hey, you've got the platform, you've got the money, help. You can do a lot more with your power than what you're currently doing.
I like that. What do you think, Carmelo?
I completely agree. And Carmelo, by the way, who stepped up with his Instagram post, which is an awesome, awesome moment in NBA time, as it were. His response to Michael's and Carmelo, by the way, wears the Jordan brand. He's sponsored by Nike and the Jordan brand. Carmelo's response to Michael today was about time. You know, that's, so I think a lot of athletes look at MJ and say exactly what you just said, which is, you know, being silent, you're contributing to the problem. Like you've made too much money. You have too big of a platform just to sit there and count dollars. And, you know, have your legacy be when you leave this the earth that, you know, he made a lot of money and he was a great basketball player. You would think you would step into a whole lot more. And you know, again, another guy it's with Michael, too, he's no dummy. He's got to have thoughts about this stuff.
He's no dummy. You know? I kind of like that. Go ahead, Carm.
That's tweetable.
Well, he's sharp, shrewd dude.
He's a billionaire, right?
Right. I mean, you know, you own the Charlotte Hornets. You're educated in a million different ways. You've been around tons of powerful people. Use your influence.
Right. But I mean, at what point can you demand that of somebody again?
Well, listen, he doesn't have to be, out there every day, but you know, come on, once in a blue moon, more than once in a blue moon. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Or in this case, once in a career.
Right. There you go. You're right. Once ever.
Right. So he started the Michael Jordan Foundation when he was here, and he did a lot of charity work behind the scenes. It's not like he wasn't doing stuff. But he's just, for whatever reason, has never felt comfortable stepping up and being out in front of it. And it's just, everyone, the way the world is right now, it's just, and plus, you know, listen, he ain't playing anymore, although he still makes a ton of money as far as endorsements, I think close to $100 million a year. So he still has something to lose, but it's like, dude, if I'm a corporation nowadays, I would want the athletes that I'm endorsing to be on the right side of this and saying stuff. I would think that would be.
Sure.
I would think that would make them more marketable that they were out there, having an opinion.
Well, Michael Jordan was the one who said, you know, when he was asked about why aren't you supporting black candidates and things like that in the electoral process, he was saying, "Well, Republicans buy shoes too."
Yeah.
So I think to your point of him being smart and being a businessman, I mean, these are things that have been calculated decisions. I think the overwhelming imagery and the fact that it impacted him so personally is what just really compelled him to go outside of himself and do something he's never done his entire life.
Yep. One more question. Oh, actually, I have two more questions. Karen, before you go, one, we were talking a little bit about North Carolina off the air moving the All-Star game because of the issues in regards to transgender or homosexuality. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Karen? I mean, we're talking about the LGBT and the bathroom issue, which I part of me is like, how often does this come into play? Like, I mean, literally almost never.
Meaning, but why would a state go ahead and make legislation again,
exactly? Like, what are we talking about here? It's like just completely ridiculous to me. But you know, North Carolina embarrassed themselves, and I think, I thought it was great the NBA stepped up and said, listen, if you guys can't come correct on, it's such a basic, a lot of people.
Carm's at a loss for words.
Yeah. It's a lot to ask to have to speak for them.
Like, you go out to numerous bars right now, but it's men and women are going to the same bathroom,
right.
Could you, if we're going to do, I say we go for that, but could you guys just, if you're not going to put the seat up.
Here she goes.
At least, have a little better aim is all I'm saying. Okay, before you go, go ahead, Carm.
Yeah. I just thought it was cool. Hey, listen, we're not playing the All-Star game here. We will play it. I mean, what's going to end up happening is they'll have it in 2019 because North Carolina is going to change their law. If they don't, I think the Duke and North Carolina, the most popular college basketball game in the country, they should go and play that at Madison Square Garden in New York, or if they want to come and play it at the United Center. Cool. Yeah. We'll sell out Duke Carolina here. I mean, there's a ton of Dukies and Carolina fans, are just people that enjoy great basketball and want to see the best colleges play. So they I mean, there's a lot of there's you know, they have power too. So I hope that they keep on turning up the heat.
Yeah, money changes minds.
It does.
Right.
Well, speaking of money, my last question is, if I found an Airbnb in Philly, would you guys join? You can't come to Philadelphia with me, can you, Carm, Todd? I'm thinking about going to Philadelphia tomorrow.
Wait, hold on a second.
Do
you have an air flight? Do you have a flight booked?
I haven't booked the flight yet.
She's talking about road tripping directly after the broadcast.
I was thinking about taking the WGN fan van.
Where are you at right now, Carm? We coming for you.
I'm gonna pick you up.
Coming for you, Carm. Where are you at right now?
I just got so, I don't know. I kind of feel like this is history. This is the first time a woman has accepted the nomination. In the process of running for the election of the president of the United States, and I got kind of jazzed about that tonight.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot of
fun. I absolutely think you should go, Patty, and I'll be rooting for you the whole way. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go, and I will say this because I feel like it's my duty on this call to just say if she loses this election. I'm going to be quite upset with her.
You're saying it's hers to lose, what you just told us.
Well, no, I mean, like, the fact that it's this close is she needs to look in the mirror and realize everything she's doing wrong. And if I may, she needs to learn to speak not from her throat.
Oh, I know. How do we tell people that as broadcasters?
I have a very vulgar way that I would say it to her behind closed doors.
Oh.
You know, she...
I need... Okay, Colt. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I do. Well, listen, it's got to, you know, to a dude, you tell him to, you know, use...
Uh-huh.
Speak from the old 1-2 down there, and she needs to do the same thing.
You weren't ready for that old
1-2.
Hey,
singers know what you're talking
about.
Kelly's in the studio, and she knows what you're talking about.
Talk with your chest. Say it with your chest.
It's below that.
Chest.
It's lower.
She's got to go where the home run is.
Go.
Get down in there and speak. I mean, come on. It's pathetic.
There you go.
So I don't know how she hasn't been coached to do that. Like, come on.
You're not wrong. Look, obviously it's a thing at home. Bill lost his voice over and over again because he was not talking from the boys. Carm, we'll talk to you tomorrow after, I believe, after midnight again, if you don't mind.
Okay, great.
I might be in Philly. Okay, we don't know. We'll see what happens.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Okay, place. And coming up after the news, Kelly, is her mic on right now? So just to ask her. I have a question, Kelly. It's just Kelly now? What's it? Not Kelly and the Darlings anymore? Just yell at me. Kelly Ostrom coming up after the break right here on 720 WGN. I want to hear some lovely music on Music Monday.